when I was reading today's gospel, I was thinking as well of John Henry Newman, the Anglican convert who lived from the year 1801 to the year 1890, and at the half point of his life in 1845, he became a Roman Catholic. As I was thinking about him, I was thinking that perhaps the most joyful day for me was the day I became a Catholic, the 18th of July in the year 2012, and one of the second most happy days perhaps will be this Sunday when he will become St. John Henry Newman. I was hoping that this would happen during my lifetime. And as I thought of today's gospel, John Henry Newman is someone who truly embodies what our Lord said when he said that we are to seek, we are to ask, and we are to knock. That John Henry Newman is one of the keenest minds in the 2,000 years of our Catholic tradition. And what is it that made Newman so important in his time and particularly important in our time? Well, he was able to do two things. He was able to sort of straddle liberalism on the one hand and a kind of reactionary conservatism on the other hand, something that the church always faces. And so in the year 1879, 11 years before he died, when Newman became a cardinal, he had a speech in which he said these words: "My entire professional career could rightly be characterized as a struggle against liberalism in matters of religion." And then he went on to say what he means by liberalism. It's that view that there is no objective or reliable truth in regards to religious claims. That what you believe, what I believe, it doesn't matter. All religious claims are equal. And he said his whole career was to battle that in the England of the 19th century. So that's the liberalism. But he also had this very famous statement: "Here below, to live is to change, and to be perfect is to have changed often." Here below, to live is to change, and to be perfect is to change often. And here, he counters the kind of reactionary conservatism that sees the Catholic Church kind of as a museum that has a bunch of objets d'art that we have to protect from the world out there that is just oppressive and antagonistic. He said, no, not at all. We have to always engage the culture, but we have to do it from the perspective of a robust orthodoxy, where we understand that there is objective, eternal truth. And the reality of our lives is that as we come into relationship to that truth, we will change, and we will change often. And he had a term for this. He called it the development of doctrine. So Newman would say, no, we are not the curators of a museum. Rather, we are gardeners who are called to cultivate a flourishing garden of life. Flourishing garden of life. And when we understand this, the great Catholic tradition that is 2,000 years old is the root system that allows for the garden to flourish. Perhaps the clearest example of this that we can have as Canadians is if you've ever been to the Butchart Gardens in Victoria. That's what Newman has in mind. That is the Catholic Church. So let me develop a little bit more what he meant by the development of doctrine, and I want to use a couple of analogies. If you've ever been to Bow Lake, which is near Lake Louise, that is the waterhead for the Bow River. So the only reason we can have the Bow River in Calgary is because of Bow Lake that is up the Icefield Highway. And here's the thing. If you go to Bow Lake, it doesn't look anything like the Bow River in Calgary. But because of the source, we have the river. And Newman said, this is what we understand by the development of doctrine. Or let me use another analogy. This is my 58-year-old hand. When I was a baby, I had the same hand. When I was 5, I had the same hand. When I was 10, 15, 20, it was the same hand. But over the course of the 58 years, this hand has developed. And so the hand of the 58-year-old Jonathan could sit down last evening and I could type my homily. This hand can sometimes sort of play Beethoven, or last night I used this hand to mash potatoes. It's the same hand that I had when I was a child, but it has developed. And the thing that Newman came to understand, all of the doctrines of the Catholic Church are like this, that they all have their basis in Holy Scripture, but over the course of time, these doctrines have developed. And so he said the development of doctrine is the way in which in the church there has been the interplay of great minds, where they have taken ideas and they have assessed them, they have discussed them, they have talked about them, and like a tennis match, from one person to another, they go back and forth and back and forth, and that they have developed. And this is very different from liberalism, that says there is no need for a continuity, we can change it. We can just make it up as we go along. Or a kind of reactionary conservatism that says, no, we can't talk about anything. We just have to try to preserve it. But as Newman said, think about an animal. The only way an animal can live is if it interacts with its environment, if it's able to change, to adapt. If that doesn't happen, that is a dead animal. And he would say the same thing is true with the church, that the church has to always be developing her doctrine. And although he died in the year 1890, John Henry Newman was one of the most influential thinkers to inspire Vatican II. If we did not have John Henry Newman, we probably would not have had Vatican II. And if we didn't have Vatican II, I would not be standing here today. He is a man of such importance, and a person who particularly inspires me. Because you see, like me, as a young man, Newman was inspired by and influenced by evangelical Anglicans, people who had a deep love for the scripture. And like Newman, from the time I was in my early 20s, when I came to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I came to have a deep love for the Bible. And like Newman, I came to discover later in life that those biblical teachings that I had always loved found their fullest development within the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. So I am very grateful that on Sunday, John Henry Newman will be raised to the altars and he will become one of the newest saints within the Catholic Church. I thank God for his wisdom, for his intelligence, and like in the parable that we had today, for his dedicated persistence, Newman never gave up. And he actually led a very hard life and was by temperament a depressive. But he was a man who continued to seek, to ask, to knock, and the door was opened to him so that in the words of today's collect, he could pray and we could pray. Almighty ever-living God, increase our faith, hope, and charity, and make us love what you command so that we may merit what you promise. Part of that promise is embodied now in this faithful servant who will become a saint. We give thanks to God and we pray, St. John Henry Newman, soon to be, pray for us.